Vince, this is the moment you've waited for. You've been searching in the dark, your sweat soaking through the floor. And buried in your bones, there's an ache that you can't ignore. Taking your breath, stealing your mind, and all that was real is left behind.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the greatest show on RMU women's basketball here at the campus of Robert Morris University, live from the RMU radio studio. This is Around the Rim, RMU Century Media's premier women's basketball podcast. So ladies and gentlemen, get ready. Joining me today is Morgan Torsha, our resident Jocelyn Jones expert. She'll be here for all of our Jocelyn Jones insight, our favorite player here on Around the Rim. Alongside her is William Robert Camilleri, who is currently sporting some Eagles gear, loves the Eagles, but, you know, the Eagles are second to Robert Morris women's basketball. And then we have the man himself. We like to call him Daddy. That is Ian Kist. And personally, I feel like he's definitely just a big fan of women's basketball in general. You know, Coach B is definitely his guy. I can feel it. I can feel it by looking at him. And sitting here running the show is myself, Sam Anthony. And we have a great show for you guys. Is everyone excited to be on?
Heck yeah.
Oh yeah.
I feel no enthusiasm, guys.
Talking the hoops.
No enthusiasm.
This was the first time I left my room today.
Yeah, see, I'm glad we can get you out. And, you know, again, yeah. what's gonna, you know, he's very excited. Exciting season for Robert Morris women's basketball. So again, you know, you're going to come to us about once a week, every Friday, 1 p.m., 2 p.m., I'm sorry, 3 p.m.
It is
3 p.m. You can tell that we've gone through a process here to figure out what time we want to do this show. So, you know, every Friday, you're going to get up your latest Robert Morris women's basketball news as we look forward to typically what will be the Saturday game coming up and the Monday after that. So it's great, kind of a preview for things going on. And we have a surprise guest here right now. Zach Lauffer, what can I do for you? So, Zach Lauffer came in to notify me that I did the math wrong. We're going on a trip to Nashville, and I did the mileage wrong. But, all right, we have to get to women's basketball.
Is that the one in March? Sorry.
February.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm glad we're really staying on topic here on the show. It's 3 minutes in. You're right. It is all my fault. So then, you know what? I'll start with a topic here. So Robert Morris women's basketball, right, coming off probably – in my opinion, what was the game of the season, 63-62, Megan Smith buzzer beater against, really, it was the top two teams in the NAC. Do you guys agree with me? Robert Morris and St. Francis.
Oh, yeah.
So going forward from that game, you know, what's the takeaway from that 63-62 win? Ian, start us off.
I have a huge takeaway. So Megan Smith, game winner, you know, she's, you know, a senior. And what made me think that she, you know, is definitely the leader of this team is last night on Colonial Sports Center, Morgan,
hey,
you know, very own Morgan Torsh, interviewed her.
She's dynamic. Not only does she know Jocelyn Jones, but she can talk to Megan Smith,
Not a big deal.
Megan said that she's never hit a three or a game winner, a buzzer beater, mm-mm, before. So to me, I took that, you know, I mean, if you put, say you put that in a freshman's hands.
It wasn't two freshman's hands. It was in Callahan's, and it went to Augustine.
I'm talking about, you know, but they got it out to the senior. But say if Augustine, Callahan, Ikemetsu would have taken that shot, I think as a freshman they overthink it a little bit. But now, you know, but then you have Megan, who's never taken a shot before, but I think her leadership and, you know, her, you know, her knowledge of being a senior was, you know, key, that she knew, you know, that was the shot was, you know, make it or we lose. And, you know, we fall in the standings to St. Francis because the play broke down. They got it to the senior, she stepped up to the plate, and boom, walk off win. And that was that was impressive to me, and that showed me that she's, you know, a true leader on this team.
And again, you know, Megan Smith going into this year, you know, with the loss of Anadiki Samuel-Amprou, Janae Brown, Rebecca Navarro, really a lot of a senior leadership on that team. Going in, you knew it was going to come down. It was going to come down to her. It was going to come down to Michaela Mulrain. Really, those two, especially, and now Jocelyn Jones has really stepped up. And it just feels like they've picked up right where they've left off, and they've been even better. I mean, they've had their second best start ever, and their best start since they went 13-3 back in 1986. I mean, incredible right now. And you're right. You know, Megan Smith has stepped up, and she's really emerged as the leader of this team. And, you know, again, it's not as flashy as, you know, Stammel Amper, who would put up, you know, she put up 39 points in one game last year. I mean, incredible numbers. But Megan Smith, in terms of being there when it counts in terms of the really physical plays, I mean, we've all seen it. I mean, the amount of times Megan Smith ends up on the floor fighting for a loose ball. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that comes out of a leader. That's the kind of stuff that other players see, and they see that level of intensity, and they try to replicate that. They try to, you know, multiply that themselves, and it's good. It's exactly what you want to see, and it's very telling of not only the players, because Coach B has done a phenomenal job with that team in terms of they've really established a culture, and that's really shown in the way that all of these freshmen have really picked up right where they left off. And I mean, some incredible freshmen. Do you agree? You guys agree with me?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the first game I went to this season, I remember walking into the gym and not recognizing about half of the team as they're warming up out there. And then just to see them kind of take over that game, I was surprised because I was expecting a down year after a loss of such heavy hitters. But they've kind of come in and taken it in stride and made this team their own.
And, I mean, that's the thing. You see players like Hinoki Yamatsu, who almost shoots 50% from three-point range. Nina Augustin, you know, really she's kind of finding her confidence level, a more physical style of play. Megan Callahan. I mean, Megan Callahan has an incredible shot. I mean, these players that, again, you kind of had, you expected that players like Shakima Dashiel, and some of the more senior players were going to have to kind of fill that void that was left. But all of a sudden, it's these freshmen that have come in. And, you know, Nia Adams, Shakima Dashiel have been hurt. And to me, like, when they get healthy, when you see Dashiel and you see Nia Adams playing regular time, watch out. I mean, the amazing thing is that because of those injuries, they still haven't even reached the peak of what they can do. And they've already, despite having 33 turnovers in that St. Francis game, they still managed to beat a team that was the best scoring team in the conference and one of the best scoring teams in the nation. You held them to 62 points. To me, there's no reason this team can't, you know, go near undefeated in conference play and really compete for a higher than a 16 seed, which would be historic for this team.
I mean,
organization.
I think if you win the NEC in the way that they did last year for, you know, winning, you know, the fourth in the four championships in 5 years, like, I think that, you know, they were in the conversation for a 15 seed last year. I think that solidifies them as a 15 seed. I don't think that keeps them in the conversation. I think that puts them there. If not, you know, starting that conversation for a 14 seed, which would be, I believe, the highest out of any men's or women's basketball in NEC history.
For sure.
So I think if they continue to dominate, and, like, you know, this, what we've been talking about is how this last game against St. Francis almost seemed like an off game for them, and they still won, and they still put up 63 points. So I think if this team can kind of find that domination that they've had previously and continue to roll with that through the rest of the season, I think they're easily a 15 seed.
And I agree with you, because right now I'm gonna go through the standings here for everyone. So in first place, the only undefeated team left in both men's and women's basketball in the NEC is Robert Morris at 5-0. And still hanging right behind them is St. Francis PA at 4-1. Following them, there are two 3-2 teams, which is LIU Brooklyn and Bryant. Mount St. Mary's at 3-3, St. Francis Brooklyn and Central Connecticut at 2-3, Sacred Heart and Fairleigh Dickinson at 2-4, and Wagner, who struggled last year and they're continuing to struggle mightily this year, sitting in last place at 1-5 in conference. The thing I want to point out, guys, is that Robert Morris overall record 12-4. Sacred or St. Francis, who is in second place overall record 9-8. That's a huge win difference in terms of a team that's, you know, significantly above 500 and one that's right around 500. And it just shows that Robert Morris is not only competing within the NEC and dominating within the NEC, but outside of conference too. I mean, they did at one point have the seventh best defense in the nation.
Wow.
So going forward, all right, so the next game coming up is Wagner. So we probably can all establish that that's a no-brainer. That's an easy win here. Really, besides St. Francis, and even them, you know, losing one to Robert Morris at home, even if they win the one on the road or at home for St. Francis, is there really a team that can compete with Robert Morris to win? Is there any other team that you can see besides St. Francis that's really going to give Robert Morris a tough time?
That long, the LIU Brooklyn game, I was there. They were, LIU was in it for the first half. You know, they were neck and neck. You know, they're a much tougher team than they used to be. Their coach is very feisty. She's really turned that program around. The program was near to nothing when she came in 3 years ago and overtook them. A young coach. But I think that, you know, the Colonials, their age, their size, their physical and their mentality on the court was what got them to that win. They were able to, you know, hit the shots and, you know, play their tough defense towards the end of that game, and LIU couldn't compete after that, and they were able to pull away to a 8-point victory, something like that. So it was a game that Colonials Nation thought was going to be, you know, a little bit of a walk in the park, but it wasn't. So other than St. Francis, I put LIU, which is third in the conference right now, but I think the Colonials beat them. But I think, again, LIU has a chance, you know, of upsetting the Colonials when the Colonials head to Brooklyn later in the season.
You know who I'm looking at that may not, I'm not saying we'll get ahead of them in the conference, but in terms of maybe playing spoiler, giving the Colonials a loss that could cost them, it's Fairleigh Dickinson. So they're sitting right now second to last place in the conference, but their overall record's 2-7.
And that was a close game.
And alongside of that, they have the second best defense in the conference behind only Robert Morris. So in terms of really, and Robert Morris, their offense, I mean, it's no secret, their offense already struggles. And in terms of, that's really what hurt them at the beginning was all those turnovers. You know, the turnovers led to limited shots, and the fact that they were making their shots helped, but they were struggling to move the ball offensively.
Right, and I think they were averaging in that St. Francis game almost a rebound, a turnover a minute.
Yeah.
Because they had 33 in 40 minutes.
Exactly. So you're talking about a team in St. Francis that, again, their style is more fast-paced, so they are going to allow more points. But they're a team that has the most points allowed per game in the NEC. And Robert Morris had 33 turnovers against them. So against a team like St. France, or against Fairleigh Dickinson, rather, there could be some challenges. So we'll have to see. But that's my look right now. Besides that, I mean, this is really what I would compare this to from a Robert Morris fan base standpoint they'd be familiar with is women's hockey from last year, where it just seemed like it was like you knew going in that they were going to win the conference. It was just kind of a, would you get the conference tournament win? You know, is something going to happen there that does that? But besides that, I mean, you got to have a lot of confidence.
Right, and I think, especially now in NEC play, it's not so much If you were to look up one day and see that they lost like just one random game to anybody, my first response would initially be, what did they do wrong that caused them to lose this game? Because I think they've shown that they're better than everybody in the NEC, so they should win. So it's not really them getting outplayed at this point. Like when they played Michigan State, like that's kind of okay. You got outplayed by a better team that plays harder opponents, all that stuff. But now, especially being unbeaten in NEC play, I think it shows. And you really have to look at it and be like, what mistake? Like, how did they give up 33 rebounds? Or not rebounds, I keep thinking that. How do they have 33 turnovers? You know, how do you miss, you know, whatever shots that they're missing that day? Mm-hmm. So I think it's more of kind of staying on top of themselves. Like, their only competition is themselves at this point.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go to a quick break, but, you know, again, very exciting. Robert Moore is dominating right now. Exciting time to be an RMU sports fan, especially with women's basketball. We're going to go to break, but when we come back, Morgan Torsha is going to give us the down low on our favorite player, Jocelyn Jones. So you're not going to want to go away. In the meantime, we're going to play My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion. because they played that as Megan Smith hit the buzzer beater, and it might have been better than when they did it for the Astros winning the ALCS. So just picture it in your head. The video is on the Army Wins Basketball Twitter, so I encourage you to watch it. But we'll be back, so here's some Celine. I thought that was a nice way to go into break, guys. But now,
I like that.
We're back with Morgan Torsha, who is going to give us the lowdown on Jocelyn Jones. So we've picked a song for this. This is going to play in the back every time. And so we're gonna get some Space Jam going here for us. Oh, I'm feeling it now. Morgan, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure.
So, all right. So give me the lowdown.
She's pretty dope, if I do say so myself.
And what makes her so dope?
Well, last year, she did play in every game. But throughout every game, she averaged about 8 minutes.
So, not a lot.
Not a lot.
Like, the amount of time that it takes me to probably get out of bed in the morning, 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe take a shower.
That's about all she did. And she scored a season high of 10 points. So, safe to say, she wasn't doing too hot. However, after we also interviewed Megan Smith yesterday, per Ian said, and Megan Smith told us, when I asked her, I was like, what happened there? Like, why is she getting better? And they were like, honestly, she just worked like really hard all summer. I'm like, not only her playing, but like being a leader. And I must say, it's definitely Shem.
I mean, you can see it. She's fired up, energy.
And
I
also,
love it.
I would like to point out, this girl has no cartilage in her knees.
Current what?
Cartilage.
Oh.
So have you ever seen
that's
her?
The whole thing with the rubber bands beneath them. Yeah.
I thought they were tattoos, and I was like, that's a weird tattoo. And I looked closely, and I was like, that is a rubber band around your knee. So I asked one of the equipment managers, Shayla, what's the deal with that? And she said, she has no cartilage in her knees. It's all bone. It keeps her knee top up.
How, you know what? I want to know, how does one, like, was she born with it? Or was it just like a, like...
I did not get that far.
Well, you know what? For next week, you're going to figure it out. You're going to do some investigative journalism for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is very important.
That's a feature story right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
What's up with their knees?
Yeah, by Morgan Torsha. There'll be a voiceover by Morgan Torsha. We'll have a one-on-one interview with Morgan Torsha.
No,
to break it all down.
Morgan Torsha interviewing Morgan Torsha.
She will. About Jocelyn Jones. Yes. Because we love Jocelyn Jones.
Well, one thing about Jocelyn Jones after hearing, you know, Megan, your conversation last night, that, you know, Jocelyn's not a player that, you know, she's not going to go on and most likely play, you know, after college.
Of course not, no.
But just the fact that she was able to, you know, she wanted to do this for her team.
And for
get
her,
better,
it's her senior
yeah,
year.
Get better in the offseason. Do this for her team her season year. Go off on a high note. Get, you know, one more championship for another finger. And, you know, she's doing it for herself. She's helping her team out. She's not, you know, being selfish. She's not doing it, you know, because she needs a good senior season to go play, you know, overseas or the WNBA. She wants to do it to help her team in the best way she can.
Shows.
And that speaks volumes.
Because even when we were interviewing all the international players, they were like, you know, like, all the other players, like Jocelyn Jones and stuff, like, they're really good at, like, making us feel more comfortable, like, not only on the court, but, like, being here. And I was like, that's pretty cool.
But this would be the fourth championship in a row, right? Because it was, wasn't it Anna Nikki's
No, they won
year?
They won three, so three of the last four would be their third in a row, sure, yeah. But their fourth in the last five.
Yeah.
Okay. So they won two, lost one, won two.
But they've been. It would be if they go to the championship this year. It'd be their fifth straight year in the championship.
Right.
Game.
Okay. I couldn't. I thought it was her freshman year. On Nikki's freshman year when they lost.
Yeah. No. So pretty good. So Morgan, any final thoughts on Jocelyn Jones?
That's it.
So if you had one word besides dope, because we all know she's dope, to describe Jocelyn Jones. All right, any word in the whole world. All right, don't limit yourself. What would it be?
I don't know. I'm trying to think here. What's a good word?
Well, you know, you're our expert, so I, you know, anything I say is not going to be valid here. I'm just here to lead the conversation.
I have a word.
I would
if you don't
say,
have one.
What?
But I have a word if you can't think of it.
Yeah, what's your word?
Mine's pretty simple. Selfless. I mean, she's, you know, she's...
I was going to say groovy.
Team.
You know, I like both, though. She's selfless and she's groovy.
I would say surprising.
Yeah, that's a good
like,
one. Shocking.
Yeah, because if there was one player at the end of last year that if you had asked me, what player is going to come out of nowhere, I think my first answer would not have been Jocelyn Jones.
I thought you were just going to sit on the bench.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for having me.
You know what, Morgan? Thanks for coming on. We look forward to your weekly Jocelyn Jones updates.
I wouldn't say weekly.
I'd say weekly.
If I got something to say, I'll be here.
I'd say weekly. We're going to bring it in.
We'll talk to the producer.
Oh, wait, I'm the producer.
Breakdown.
We had a producer's meeting, me and myself. Mm-hmm. We've decided to bring you in every week.
Yeah, but see, I don't bring you because I'm the music editor. And I work with
Do you outrank me, though? Do you outrank me?
I know how to do more things.
Just, you know what? She's going to leave. Apparently, she's got better things to do.
I got motion graphics.
That's fine. All right. Well, we got a couple minutes left on the around the rim here. So, guys, you know, what do you guys think's going on around the rim? What's on your minds?
I mean, I think it's crazy, and we talked about this a little bit over the break, how Nneka Ezigbo is almost averaging a double-double despite not starting a single game and averaging about a little less than 20 minutes a game. So she's playing a little, like, 30 seconds less than half of a game. Every time, and she's leading the team in overall points and average points with 158. Or no, she's not. Average in NEC play goes to Hinoka. I don't know how
Ikamatsu.
Ikamatsu. Thank you.
By the end of this semester, you're all gonna be able to say their names.
All the names.
just perfect pronunciations and everything. I'd be proud of you, Ian. What are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are one thing I look at, and I see with the freshmen more than some of the upperclassmen. But when a player's having a offensive struggling game, someone's always there to step up and put up the points that player's not. For example, Megan Callahan was here double digits. Then we'll see her last game of 2 points. Ikemazu put up 20 or more points in 2 straight games, and 0 points against St. Francis Brooklyn in that blowout win. So I just think it's the maturity of the team. They all know, when they don't get down on themselves. Okay, let's say Ikemazu's not shooting great tonight. We're all sometimes we've seen a funk. Sometimes with the men's team, they get into a funk, and it's like, well, if Kobe Thomas isn't shooting well, Deshaun's not shooting well, Maddie's not shooting well. But even for both teams, that's kind of turned around different. And that's one thing I see with those women teams and their success is that they're big, they're really, 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 really big on team oriented, mentality, playing a mental game, and their defense, and also if they're we got to take a look at that Kent State game. They only gave a, would have put some, they were held to 31 points, but it was a big defensive game. Held, the Golden Flash is the 46 points. So, to me, that's big. They're a big team. Sometimes it seems like, well, the offense isn't there. Well, today's going to be a defensive game. They're always big on defense, but, they come together. They know and they overcome their struggles during the game.
And you know what? People say, because Robert Morris, they're not a flashy team. This is my final thought here is, they're never going to go and, blow out a team in terms of, putting up 100 points. Where they do dominate is on the defensive end. And while that's not, necessarily, as Coach Toole would say, if that's not necessarily cool, but it wins games and it wins championships. And I really think that they have the right formula, especially – now that you've gotten this rhythm, everyone's really comfortable playing bigger schools. I think that they, because their defense is so good, it allows them to, be able to stay in games. I really do believe that. So, come, hopefully, NCAA tournament appearance. I know we're still a long ways away. We still have a lot of time. But in terms of Robert Morris, the way they're playing is a style that allows them to potentially be successful against bigger teams, especially for the long time coming, since a lot of their team is very young. A lot of them are freshmen. So yeah, that just about wraps up all the time we have here on Around the Rim, episode 1. So, guys, be back next week. And again, exciting things going on here. And we'll make sure to keep you updated. So thanks so much for tuning in.